Hi everybody, my name is Sapphire and thank you for tuning in to this Wishbox interview session. Today we're here with Tim and Stephanie from Bui. Tim and Stephanie are both hospitality consultants working with vacation rentals. They are based in the US and each specialize in different aspects of property management. Tim manages revenue and Stephanie acts as an operational consultant. And with several years of experience, they're now developing their own software to help vacation rentals track revenue and other key stats. They will tell us more about that in a bit. And they will also share best practices, their advice they give clients, and examples of success stories. I'm here to ask them about consultancy process and get more of their insight for a thought-provoking discussion. Hi, Tim and Stephanie.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here.
Sure, so I'm just going to dive right in. Tell me a bit more about Bui and maybe give me a bit of a background.
We initially started as consultants. Tim and I met several years ago working in the vacation rental space. And we're kind of working on different things. Tim was really focused on revenue management. I was really focused on operations. And we sort of found our way back together because we realized that two heads are better than one and that a lot of vacation rental operators needed multiple things in order to really successfully run their business. And so what started as kind of a consulting effort to work with operators and help them kind of optimize their performance, their portfolios, sort of turned into an aha moment for us when we realized that a lot of the things that we were doing manually or helping, you know, our clients with, some of those processes could be automated. And so Bui is kind of the brainchild of that, which is essentially a software company born out of consulting that is designed to help vacation rental operators maximize and optimize the revenue management and their overall operations as companies.
Yeah, when Oasis sold to Vacasta just over a year ago, I left that company to join a software company here in Los Angeles, you know, working in the space. And I was able to see how the software solutions in that company arose from real world issues that an operator was experiencing. And so I eventually left that company and was consulting on my own. And as Steph said, realized very quickly that what I was doing could be turned into an algorithm. I shared that with Steph and she was like, if you have an algorithm that can do that, let's build a company around it. So that was several months ago. I forget exactly how long ago that was, but since then we've sort of focused the consulting business from from like these piecemeal freelance efforts that we both had going on to a much more data driven revenue focused type of company, because one of the things that I discovered as I was consulting for people on revenue management is that there are operations hurdles that get in the way of proper rev man. So Steph was the perfect person to consult on that side. I was the perfect person to consult on revenue management. And we're trying to turn everything that we do into software products that'll be rolling out over the next several months. So that's sort of the company in a nutshell.
So in order for listeners to have a better understanding, can you maybe describe your average client?
Yeah. So the primary clients that we began with were these urban, mid-sized, multi-building companies. Portfolio sizes between 20 and 75 or 80. So, really focusing on solutions for people who had a small company that they most likely bootstrapped and then grew to a sizable portfolio, generating millions of dollars a year. But at the same time, I'm also working with Oasis in mind, which had a portfolio of over 2,000 units. And we're also working with a few individuals, experienced individuals with, giant homes generating lots of money. And then also very inexperienced individuals who are just getting into the business. Because this industry has a pretty low barrier to entry. And if you are smart and willing to do your homework and willing to work hard, you can find success. And so we want to be able to provide solutions for everybody at all ends of the spectrum. I really just get a kick out of working with all sorts of different types of companies.
Great. So from your experience when managing vacation rentals, when companies approach you for consultancy, what do you address first? What elements, do you look out for, like sore spots?
So I think, most clients typically approach us and other consultants when it comes to the revenue side, because revenue management is a little bit of a black box. It's sometimes confusing. It's sometimes an area that people are not as familiar with. And they also feel that pricing is kind of the smoking gun and the, silver bullet, all the metaphors you want. It's going to be the thing that kind of solves the problem. And what we find is that what's often overlooked is actually the operations internally and making sure that all the things within the company process-wise are functioning smoothly. And when they're not, it doesn't matter what the price of a unit is. If there's a bad review, someone is going to see that and maybe not book the home. And so you could have the cheapest price, on the block. But if you had an issue with a complicated check-in and you're a business traveler, that's going to set off an alarm. If you had an issue with cleanliness that was a fluke, or maybe it's an epidemic issue because you have an unreliable cleaning team, that's going to turn someone off. So, making sure that things like your communication process and response time with guests is up to par, making sure that, all of the logistics you have with your outsourced vendors around cleaning and maintenance are running smoothly, that your check-in process is simple and easy and clear and doesn't give guests the opportunity to be stranded at 2 a.m. not able to get into their unit when their flight is delayed. Those are the kinds of things that actually impact a bottom line tremendously. And a lot of people really think that just by fixing the price, they're going to fix their profit. And we find that it's really a holistic approach. And that's the kind of service and methodology that we really bring to a lot of the clients that we work with.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of KPIs, what do you use to measure success?
Yeah, well, there are the three KPIs that first come to mind for me are margin, because so many people in this business are in lease arbitrage. And so it's not just how much money you're making, it's also how much money you're keeping. And, how good was that initial deal that you signed? If you're bringing in $7,000 a month for a two bedroom in a Midwestern city, that's pretty great. Unless your rent is $6,000 a month. So, measuring margin and not just revenue, I think is absolutely key. And it's kind of surprising how difficult that metric can be to get. Just for me, as a revenue manager, I've become really reliant on RevPAR, because with so much portfolio growth, that's the one metric that can really cut through vast changes in portfolio size. And it enables me to have historical comps for somebody's portfolio where I couldn't have it otherwise if I were just looking at revenue. And then finally, for the operations side, we've developed the magic number, which is the number of five-star reviews, the number of consecutive five-star reviews you need to receive in order to hit a target threshold for a review score. Like, for example, if you want to get into Airbnb's business travel ready program, you've got to have a 4.8 on check-in. If you've got a 4.5, then this number tells you, okay, well, you need 12 consecutive five-star reviews on check-in in order to hit that threshold. That number just gives us some perspective, because like I can tell, okay, this place is averaging 8 stays a week. It's averaging 3 reviews per week. So if everything goes perfectly, then in 4 weeks, I can be at this threshold. And if I see somewhere has like 50, then I'm like, maybe I should just shut that listing down and start a new one, because I'm never going to dig myself out of this hole. So that's that number is indicative of a a broader data-based approach that we want to bring to companies that can bring the revenue side and the operation side into a single ecosystem.
Got it. And I'm sure there are often issues you notice that get overlooked. What are the most common ones, Stephanie?
I think we see the communication and check-in are two of the biggest areas for improvement and where, people often get tripped up. And I think this comes as a result of trying to scale quickly. We're in an industry that is getting tons of investment, and people are rightfully adding and growing their portfolios very quickly. But what works for a 20-unit portfolio does not work for 100, 200, 500-unit portfolio. And so it's really important that operators remember to sort of walk before they run when it comes to scaling and growth. Because if you don't have the process in place to handle 24/7 communication, and you have structural pieces that are missing in your check-in, your check-in process, maybe you don't have all of your locks changed to digital locks, and the instructions are unclear. Those kinds of things are going to trip you up, and you're going to end up having unhappy guests. And at the end of the day, we work in the hospitality industry, and it's all about guest satisfaction. And the vacation rental industry in particular is so susceptible to, peer review. That's really, at the end of the day, what sites like Airbnb and Booking.com have created is a platform for social interaction, for guests to be able to communicate about their experiences, and for you, obviously, as the operator, to tell your story, and for those two stakeholders to interact, the guests and the operators. And when you don't have those components really tight, people are going to notice, and then they're going to start to talk about it. And so, the last thing that you want to do is leave a bad impression with a guest, because they're going to talk about it publicly and they're going to talk about it privately. And word of mouth is often just as powerful as the published word. And if you are someone who has a network, it's going to multiply and amplify.
For sure. And, for me, just strategically, that's the primary advantage that hotels have over vacation rentals. They've got a super solid and well-defined communications and check-in process. You can always go there at any time of night, and a professional paid human being will get you behind a locked door without you having to do anything. And that's actually pretty difficult to do in a vacation rental business. So I do definitely see a correlation between listings that are optimized on the platforms and listings that have quality scores in those areas. And then from a revenue management perspective, the hardest thing is just staying in touch with your portfolio, because operations insist problems onto you all the time. Guests get locked out, or something needs to be restocked or whatever, but revenue is always just kind of lurking there in the background. You know that you need to check on it, but you don't do it often enough. And so just having the inspiration to carve out time several times a week to actively look at your revenue, that can be quite a barrier to a lot of operators.
Okay. So what mistakes do you encounter in revenue management? I'm sure you can share some examples.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, just carelessness. That's the biggest thing that I see. When I come in, I can usually generate an immediate revenue benefit just by fixing mistakes that are there already. And things like not opening up the calendar, or raising your rate astronomically high for a big event, and because you're okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to change that rate later, but for now, I'm just going to put it at $1,500 a night or something like that. Then you forget about it, and then you're like, oh no, I haven't gotten a booking for this place. Now I need to drop my rate at the last minute. And so that type of just losing track of the different things that you've done, it can be absolutely catastrophic for a portfolio. And I see it everywhere I go.
Yeah, I know your background is in the vacation rental industry. How do you feel it's different from the more traditional hospitality sectors? I mean, what challenges do vacation rentals face that are more unique?
Right. So the rate schedules are totally different. Calendar management is totally different, even though those worlds are starting to merge a little bit. But at a like much broader perspective, there is not much of an opportunity for ancillary revenue in the vacation rental industry. So other than like what you're making on that cleaning fee, if anything, and like what people are paying for the nightly rate, it's really hard to get, you know, a mini bar or something like that into a vacation rental. And I know from managing a hotel in South Beach during the low season that you rely on that mini bar when you're charging $40 a night to get people in there because the neighborhood occupancy is only at 25%. And like somebody who's paid $40 a night for a room might impulsively buy a $35 bottle of gin that you've got in there, you know, and that can turn into some real revenue. And I know that Steph has seen this as well, working, you know, in this particular aspect of the industry. And I'm just interested to see where it goes and how it starts generating revenue for people.
Yeah, I mean, we love the idea of helping our clients unlock new opportunities for profit and for revenue, because not only is it good for the operator, but it's great for the guest. Because when you think about the amenities and the services and things that a guest receives at a hotel, they have room service, you know, they have obviously gym, you know, access, business center access. They have a variety of different on-site, you know, perks that sometimes are more difficult within the home. But there are a lot of ways that you can create value for the guest within a vacation rental experience. And I know that, you know, Wishbox is a great example, actually, of a platform that makes it really easy for operators to do that when it comes to transportation, when it comes to luggage storage, when it comes to things like welcome boxes, or, you know, we've got a client that has a beach house, you know, up in the panhandle, and we've talked about beach packages and how they can, you know, make some additional money off of providing things that are good for the guest. Who wants to pack sunscreen and boogie boards and, you know, goggles? Those things are not, you know, easy to transport. And so when you start to put yourself into the guest mindset and what's going to enhance their vacation, it's really a win-win situation from the bottom line to guest satisfaction, and it all weaves in together.
That's so true. And one of the things we do at Wishbox is allow hosts to generate more revenue from upsells, whether it's selling experiences or, you know, early check-in and automating, you know, that extra revenue stream that's so important, especially considering that vacation rental guests are different, right? They have a different persona and they might not be interested in a mini bar. Maybe they'll be interested in filling their fridge or, you know, having access to amenities that are more unique to them.
One of the biggest things is the expectation, right? So when people are thinking about hotels versus vacation rentals, there's just a different expectation of service and of operation. And so, you know, I think what ultimately, as operators, the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity is how can we bridge the gap between those two experiences, but also educate guests in the differences. So, you know, there's a reason why people book hotels versus vacation rentals. There's different scenarios, there's different circumstances. And, you know, if you are able to kind of properly set expectations about what you're getting and what is the pro and con sort of in each scenario, you ultimately end up with happy guests and profitable operations. So it's just really towing the line, you know, sort of between those two things and trying to balance the best you can, and adding those little touches when you can so people feel like they have that little bit of a magic, you know, the magic of a hotel, but also remembering that they have a kitchen and, you know, they have a backyard or a pool that's just theirs. You know, or a big, large communal space for groups to hang out. Whereas in a hotel, you know, you have your individual rooms. And so really, again, it just sort of depends on the circumstances, and kind of creating those differences and the value points of each when it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. And maybe can you share some study cases? It would be interesting to hear about, you know, different experiences you had giving advice to property managers.
I think we each have one. I mean, I definitely have one on the operations side, and I know you have a couple on the rate setting side.
Yeah. go for it from an operations side, and I'll share after from revenue management.
Sure. So, you know, one of the clients that we work with kind of had the scenario that we spoke about before in terms of the type of client that we work with, where they started with, you know, 20, 30 units, they saw some great success, and then they quickly scaled up to over 100 very fast. And they became a multi-city portfolio, and, you know, they were doing well, but it started as an approach of what normally happens, which someone wants revenue management. Tim went in to try to start doing some rate setting improvement. And we noticed in the process that the reviews weren't great. And so we went in and we did a full audit and a full analysis. And we started to look at category by category, building by building, you know, city by city, where some of the issues were. We saw some overall sweeping trends, particularly in response time and communication. And then we saw some very specific outliers on check-in in particular buildings. And we started to look at the buildings themselves and the units themselves and what was the actual process to get in. And some of them had very complex instructions where you had to, you know, park your car with your blinkers on in front of the building, go in with a call box, find a storage room with a lockbox that had a fob that you then brought upstairs to get your access card that you then went downstairs to move your car into the garage, you know, to put your permit in and find the parking spot that you were assigned. And, you know, the way that that was being communicated was very confusing and very clunky. And there were challenges around that, and it was showing in the results, it was showing in the reviews. And so what we did was we actually went through listing by listing and tried to understand exactly what the process was. Were there steps that we could simplify? Were there ways that we could make it easier on the guest so that they didn't have to go through 16 steps to open the door to their apartment? You know, and we found that there were indeed some shortcuts that could be taken, some things that the operator could do to make it easier. And simply even just the communication, actually making the communication simpler and more friendly so that it didn't feel like such a burden when the guest received, you know, those pre-check-in instructions. How can we turn something that is maybe a little bit complex or comprehensive and make it at least feel a little bit less intimidating? And that alone was something that, you know, is making a big difference. And so those are the kinds of things that when we think about customers and we talk about holistic consulting and, you know, optimizing a vacation rental portfolio, those types of really specific prescriptions to a problem can make a huge difference. And it did in the case of this operator.
Yeah. And from my perspective, I'm just like not ready to do revenue management for a company that doesn't have solid operations, just because I'm too frustrated by having like an imperfect system. So the operators that I work with tend to have really, really stellar operations, which as a result allows me to put a lot more elasticity into the rates. You know, we go in and if somebody has super solid operations, it means they're also thinking like very strategically and very practically about the room nights they have available to sell. A lot of the time people will get in their own way because they're like, oh my God, this place could never sell for under $300 a night. And I'm like, really? Cause like January is so cold in Chicago. It's so cold there. And so like working with operators who acknowledge that, okay, we're going to identify a minimum rate. And even if we get down to $60 a night, we're going to identify a minimum rate that contributes to our long-term revenue goals. And then we're going to play all the way down to that $60 rate. And we're also going to go all the way up to $600 for peak events. And having people who are comfortable with that level of rate variance, who can understand that you can get booked at $300 a night on a Saturday night, and then two nights later on a Monday get booked for $75 a night, and like that's not necessarily a problem. So just finding people or finding ways to make operators more open to wild rate variations I think it's like an early win. And honestly, like, sorry, to put that into actual numbers, I took over rate setting for a partner earlier this year in June. They, without any portfolio growth, you know, they had been consistently outperforming the previous year's numbers by about $25,000 per month. So that's great. You know, they were, you know, making 25K more. Once I came in and reset their rate structure, got more aggressive on the low end, more aggressive on the high end, and, you know, just got just like paid a lot more attention. In July of that year, they beat their previous year's numbers by $100,000. And consistently since then have been beating the previous year's numbers by 75,000. So the rate structure that I put into place has, on average over the past several months, brought them an additional $50,000 per month.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it sounds very tricky.
Yeah. And also sorry to cut you off, but like it is reliant on them having the operations to handle it, because a lot of that stuff is done like inexpensive one night stays done at the last minute, or like, you know, business travel stays that are booked with only, you know, 1 hour in advance, that kind of stuff. If you can't handle it from an operational perspective, or like if you try to provide that to somebody and then mess up the check-in and get a bad review, then you end up damaging yourself. But if you've got really excellent operations, that gives you the opportunity to take advantage of the entire rate elasticity.
And how do you categorize rentals? I mean, do you do that when you manage revenue in order to be able to, you know, compare one rental to others in the market?
Yeah, for sure. Well, there are a few different ways to do that. If you've got, if you have like a traditional hospitality revenue management setup, then yeah, you can break your portfolio into room types. And lots of people do that. Makes sense for a lot of reasons. Then you can also just use sort of like a Wild West method, which is just like, I'm going to let the algorithms do their thing and set the rates like where they're going to go. I don't necessarily like recommend that wholeheartedly. What I recommend is taking into account a curated comp set that you've made for yourself. Like if you look at a lot of the systems out there, they'll say, oh, this is what the other one bedrooms in your area are priced as. And I'm like, okay, well, there's 1,000 of them, so not all of them are going to be relevant to me. Can I see the 75 that are relevant to me, please? So like going in and really doing the work to curate your comp set so you can have like an apples to apples market comparison, that's absolutely crucial. So I would say yes, I do categorize homes differently based on their quality. You know, we certainly have to. And I use a number of different factors to generate that comp set.
Sure. This was super fun and interesting. Thank you so much, guys, for joining. And
thank you.
Yeah.
It was really, really great having you. So that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed the interview. If you're interested in more thought-provoking content, you can sign up to our newsletter at wishbox.co. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Till next time.